Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah. Somebody lift your hand. Celebrate the greatness of our God.
Thank you. praise your holy name. We praise your holy name, Jesus. That you are worthy, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise your God for another day in the land of the living. This morning we come to lift up the name of Jesus. Come to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise on this Good Friday morning. Lord, we could have been in another place, but you kept us in the land of the living. Oh, Father, we praise you and we glorify your name. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. There's no one that compares to you, Jesus. A fool says in his heart, there's no God. But, Father, we know better. We know that you are sovereign. We know that you are mighty. And we know that you reign forevermore. That's why we praise you. That's why we honor you, O God. You are awesome God, a mighty God. We ask you, Father, today that you will speak through us, that you will use us as your mouthpiece today, as we speak about he heal the sick and raise the dead, talking about Jesus. He healed the sick and raised the dead. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Let's pull up two verses there. And then we'll go to Luke. Matthew, chapter 12. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew, chapter 12, and verse 9 and 10. When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. Now they asked Jesus this question because they were intended to catch him doing something or saying something about the Sabbath, because they honor the Sabbath more than they honor man. More than they honor God, they honor the Sabbath because they were ritualistic. You know, it was all about the rituals. It's all about the keeping up the traditions. So in Luke chapter 7, go there, in the NLT, and we just read out of the King James Version. In the NLT, Luke chapter 7, we just read Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. We have to go back there. Let's go back there. Matthew chapter 12, and let's start at verse 9. Matthew chapter 12 in the NLT. Let's start at verse 9 to 14. Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? They were hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges against him. And he said, and he answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull him out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law perhaps permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored, just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how they would kill Jesus. These are Jews that did not believe the same thing that Jesus believed. They plan Okay, we just had to take a sidebar there. My granddaughter, she's talking, so I want to record all that. So let's go now. Let's go now. We're talking about he healed the sick and raised the dead, talking about Jesus. This is Good Friday. We could do a Good Friday message for you, but there's a lot of Good Friday messages out there. You know, we could go and do John chapter 21, a Good Friday message, or John chapter 20, or Luke. You know, but we want to give you something a little different today, as the Lord gave us this. Let's go to Luke. We are in now in the NLT, New Living Translation. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And let us start at verses 1. Talking about he heals the sick and he raised the dead. This is faith of a Roman officer. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. Time the highly valued slaves of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help this man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself to come to my house, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. This is some powerful faith. This man is an honorable man, but he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Yet he did much good for the Jews. He built them a synagogue, so you must think in your mind that he was a rich man. He was a centurion. But then as Jesus heard the elders, the Jewish elders was pleading for him to come and do this deed for this man because for his servant, because he was a man of honor, and that he did much for the Jewish people. Jesus said that he would go and do this for him. But as he was getting close to the centurion house, he sent some elders to go tell Jesus not to come under his roof. Another virgin said that he was not worthy. He told Jesus he wasn't worthy that he would come under his roof. Neither was he worthy to meet Jesus. But then he says he understands the power that Jesus, because Jesus was opening, in earlier chapters, Jesus was opening the blind eyes. He was causing the cripples to walk. He raised the dead. All this stuff Jesus was doing. So he said to Jesus, just send the word. Just speak the word in the atmosphere, and I know my servant will be healed. That is some powerful faith. You know, sometimes we today, if we don't see it, we don't believe it. We can't go in the hospital and say, well, I believe God is going to take care of me. You know, this is what it was saying when I was in the hospital and was in a bad shape. I mean, real bad shape. You know, when I told the doctors I'm okay because, you know, the Lord, my Lord, my Savior is going to take care of me. You know, it wasn't easy, and it still ain't easy. I had an appointment yesterday because I have sleep apnea. So I had to do a sleep test. You know, trying to get this machine that I can sleep and don't wake up or stop breathing at night. You know, because you can die when you start breathing. You can go blind because the brain don't have, is not getting any oxygen, and the heart not getting any oxygen. So we had to do that. We had to do that yesterday. Take the machine back and all that. So the Bible said that. He said to Jesus, he said, I am not even worthy to come and meet you. He sent this message to Jesus. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this, he tells, he sent by the servants. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slave, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officers friends returned to his house, they found his slave completely healed. They found his slave completely healed. Jesus did not even say a prayer, a part of, according to the Bible. All Jesus said, he have not seen a faith as such as a centurion faith. Because he believed that all Jesus needed to do is speak the word. He didn't even have to leave where he was. Jesus was on his way to heal the slave. But the centurion sent him a message, don't come. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Neither am I worthy to come to you because you are God's servant. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, continue in this chapter. That was Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10, talking about healing. Now, here he's going to raise the dead. And we told you that the message, the topic is, he healed the sick and raised the dead. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11, soon after Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him, a funeral procession was coming out the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stop. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd. And they praised God, saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us. And God has visited his people today. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countries. Now, this woman only had one son. Now, you know that she was desperate. We're talking about he heals the sick and he raised the dead. Now, you know that she was desperate. But Jesus had just finished healing a slave boy. And now he's crossing. Now he's going in traveling. See, Jesus, you can say Jesus was an evangelist. At times he was evangelized. And at times you can say he was a prophet. He prophesied. But most of all, he was God in the flesh. Now, Jesus saw this funeral procession. And you know, Jesus always thinks to do to glorify the Father. Not like us, we are trying to glorify ourselves. We are trying to get praise. We are trying to get accolades. But Jesus, he always looking proceed to do things to glorify the Father. So Jesus now, he said, saw this funeral procession. And he knew, nobody told him anything. He knew that this little boy was this woman's son, only son. Not only that, her husband had died, so she was a widow. She had nobody to help her. This is the only son. So she's bahooing, she's crying, she's lamenting, and the crowd is crying with her, falling with the carrying the funeral. They didn't have no hearse to carry the funeral, to carry the coffin. So they most likely had the coffin on their shoulders like they do in Africa. And he stopped the funeral procession. Stop. I mean, just touch the coffin. And he didn't even call the little boy to death. Life. He just touched that coffin. When he touched it, the little boy had life. And Jesus said to him, get up. I'm talking about, oh, God, he's so powerful, man. You know, as I was studying this last night, I thought about when I died in the hospital. I didn't know I died. You never know you die. You know, people tell you, if you come back alive, people tell that you died. But you don't know when you die, you know. People are afraid of death. But when death comes, you're not going to know that death is at the door. That's why you got to live again. So he stopped that funeral. And when he stopped that funeral, he caused the dead man to come alive. Told him, get up. And the young man got up. And fear was all over the country. Because this man had done something that nobody else had done. Jesus did this. Do you know when Jesus called you and I out of darkness into his marvelous light, he did something that nobody else can do. Like for me, I went to about three or four different drug rehab houses, place, but nobody could deliver me. Nobody could set me free. But the day that in question that I prayed with a minister and invite me to give my life to Christ, Christ come in. And when he come in, everything changed. He did what not the psychiatrist and psychologist, none of them could do. He did in an instant, 1 minute. Didn't take no long time, didn't take weeks. He delivered me that very same minute. Hallelujah. And I'm sure he did. Jesus and John the Baptist, listen to this. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep someone else? You know, John, he did a lot of works in the name of the Father, waiting for Jesus, because he was the one that make the way straight, preparing the way for the Savior to come. But strange that even though he's hearing all of these things that Jesus is doing, he still got a little bit of doubt. You know, he sent a message, say, are you the one? Who else can do the kind of works? Who else can manifest the tell? Are you the one? You know? Yes. John the Baptist baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize you with fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He baptized you because he's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Ghost. Listen, look. John, two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent to ask, are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits. And he restored sight to many who were blind. John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God bless those who do not turn away because of me. After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see. Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath and wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No. People who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury are found in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. Hallelujah. And he will prepare your way before you. I tell you, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. When they heard this, all the people, even the tax collectors, agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in religious law rejected God's plan for them, for they had refused John's baptism. To what can I compare the people of this generation, Jesus asked. How can I describe them? You know, don't matter how much you do, don't matter how much you proclaim, there's still some people that's going to doubt what you're doing. There's still some people that's not going to be in agreement with what you say. Hallelujah. You just got to keep saying what you're saying. Hallelujah. Because you're not come because of them. You come because of God. And those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying will hear what the Spirit is saying. Everybody's not going to hear. Some people listen, but they don't hear. So he says, hallelujah. To what can I compare the people of this generation, Jesus asks. How can I describe them? They are like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs and they didn't dance. So we played funeral songs and you didn't weep. You didn't mourn. For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread and drinking wine. And you say he was possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks. And you say he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to the right. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. See, if you follow the things that God has planned for you, people would know the truth. Jesus anointed a sinful woman. We're talking about he healed the sick and raised the dead. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, he brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He's a sinner. See, he's speaking to himself. Some people will hear you preaching. They'll see God doing miracles with you. Listen to me. You might even go and lay hands on a prostitute. You may lay hands on a homosexual or lesbian, praying for them in the name of Jesus. And people will say that you don't know what you're doing. You don't know who these people are. But those are the very people that we are supposed to pray for, that we are supposed to encourage, to tell them about Jesus. But these are the folk that think that they know it all. They would judge you because you're praying for the homosexual, you're praying for the lesbian, you're praying for the gambler, you're praying for the dope dealer. You know, you're praying for the people of the world. That's what it's all about. But you have to step out of your Sabbath thinking that you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola and go down in the gutter. You got to go down in the gutter. Step down in the gutter. Get your shoes dirty. Get your hand dirty and pull that kid out of the gutter that don't know which way is up, don't know light from darkness. He's just living, but he really dying. And you're supposed to go down in the gutter, go down in the gutter, go down in the trenches. But you see, we're looking at our alligator shoes, our crocodile shoes, and we're looking at the Stacey Adams and Calvin Jones and all this stuff, Calvin Klein and Jones of New York. We're looking at all of these clothes that we're wearing, all this fine stuff we're wearing, and we don't want to do what the master called us to do. Jesus sat there where this prostitute, crying over his feet, wiping his feet with her hair and anointing them with this expensive, how they know? Because the fragrance was all over the room. The moment she uncapped the bottle to start wiping Jesus, anointing Jesus' feet, listen, the fragrance went all over the room. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then they begin to whisper to themselves, talk to themselves, thinking that he don't know what's going on. Not only does he know what's going on, he's hearing them speaking internally. May God help us to hear the truth internally, that we do not be dissuaded by people saying do. Then Jesus answered his thought. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Jesus is answering his thoughts. Now, could Jesus hear him thinking this negative thought concerning this woman? I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him his story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash my feet, the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my feet, but she has anointed my feet with rare. Tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much more love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Tables said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a powerful, powerful sermon right there. A lot of people take this sermon here and they jump and skip. Jesus make it so simple. People that just get, since I hear some people say, well, I was sharing my story back in Virginia. I was assistant pastor in this Portuguese church. From time to time we will share our testimony. The pastor, the senior pastor would ask anybody sometimes, he said, Pastor Dave, you going to share your testimony today? So I said, yeah, I don't mind. So that particular Sunday when I shared my testimony, I hope God had delivered me from drugs and alcohol and womanizing and stuff. Now the pastor says, you know, man, he says, you know, Pastor Dave, he got a powerful trust of testimony. You know, because he was in the world, you know, he is making like he was this superhero. And he said to the people, congregation, he said, no, I've never done anything like that. I've never done any drugs or drinking or alcohol or nothing like that. You know, my sin was different. So he never tell you what he was doing. But he was kind of putting me down in a sense, you know, like, because I've been so far and I've done all these drugs and stuff like that. But the psalmist just said there, they that have been delivered from much sin, they will honor God more. That's what he's saying. They will honor God more because they realize where God has brought them from. But a person that here, when he just had an accident with a car, hit somebody's car, and he had left without making restitution, but God delivered them, not much. So they don't believe that they have so much to honor God for. You see the difference? When you realize what God has delivered you from, you every chance that you get, you want to give him praise. But if you're not there yet, I say get there. Go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Glory to God. And let me just bring this in here for a second. Let's pray for this little baby. She's in the hospital in Pennsylvania. She's just a baby. Last year, I think she was born last year, and they're twins. But she born with a collapsed lung, and they had to do a lot of work to get the lung up and get her going. Today, she was rushed to the hospital. She is Jackie Tazel's granddaughter, one of her granddaughters. She sent me a message this morning that she need prayer for her granddaughter because the granddaughter's heart is beating too fast. In other words, it's out of rhythm, and the lung is collapsed. Lung is collapsing again. Her name is Teria, T-E-R-R-A-Y-E. Father, we just thank you and praise you even right now. As we minister this different scriptures, a sermon, about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, being a healer. Hallelujah. And a raiser of the dead. Father, we lift up this baby before you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And we ask you, O God, to do the impossible to the what's impossible to the doctors and nurses. You do the impossible because you're the God of impossibilities. We ask you, God, to enter her hospital room. We know there's many people praying for her, but Lord, we ask you now to enter into the hospital room. She's just a baby. I've not seen much, Lord. I've not done much, Lord. Because she have not even, oh God, got a chance to go to school yet. We ask you, Father God, to just touch her body, touch her heart. And not only heal her heart, but give her a new heart, Lord. Touch her lungs, oh God. And Lord, give her fresh lungs, oh God, that her lungs will not collapse again, oh God. And her heart will not go out of rhythm again, Father. We pray today that you give her a testimony, that her grandmother would begin to testify. What an awesome, amazing God you are, Lord God. When they look upon this little girl and see that she was at hell's door, oh God, she had death door, Lord God, but you brought her back, and you're keeping her in the land of the living without pain and without sorrow. Lord, we give you the glory, and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, one prophet that was sold with Saul. They saw him in half because of the word of Jehovah. He was a serious prophet too. Kept the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they saw him in half. You know, we live in a world today that we take everything that's happening in our lives for granted. Oh, well, you know, this, so. We just talk of the things that are happening in our lives. You know, like God is not the keeper of our soul. You know, we get excited about the things of the world. and the things that we should be excited about, God, we don't get excited about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 29. And just a couple of verses here. Isaiah 29. Thank God for you all that came on the line today. Verse 18 and 19. You can read this for yourself. It's a very powerful message to Jerusalem. God is speaking to his people. 18 and 19. And he's speaking to us the same way. Well, let's start at this. Yes. Okay, let's go there. In the day of the deaf, in that day, the deaf will hear words read from a book, and the blind will see through the glooms and darkness. The humble will be filled with fresh joy from the Lord. The poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Now, what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord. When the Lord comes, when he comes with his angels and with the sound of the trump, blind eyes will see him. Deaf ears will hear him. Hallelujah. Crippled will walk to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In that day, hallelujah, people will rejoice. Those that love him, that die in Christ, that, you know, those that give their life to him will begin to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They'll begin to rejoice. Hallelujah. I don't take this thing lightly. This is serious business, man. Serving the Lord with everything that's within me. The Bible says you got to serve him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Everything. And if you seek him with all your heart, mind, and soul, you'll find him. He'll speak to you. Hallelujah. Don't look at your circumstance or what you're going through. Go to Isaiah 30, 35. This is one of the sweet books in Isaiah. A short book, but a sweet book. I love this book. When I was in Louisiana, we were sitting down studying Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington. I was at a house and we were studying in the study room there off the foyer. And the Lord has took me to this book, and I tell you, we have dissected this book with the Holy Spirit. It was so powerful. I mean, we just kept finding more and more. You know, when you're upbringing in the Spirit, we keep finding more and more stuff that the Lord was showing. He started opening the Word to all three of us, and Bishop would see some stuff, Apostle would see some stuff, and I would see some stuff. And we would just get so excited on the Word. And then we'd get so excited because when God began to open your eyes to see the Scripture and unstop your ears to hear the voice of himself, you get excited. Here, listen, let me give you a couple of verses here. He says in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the water land. You can read this whole thing. It's only 11 verses, but it's so powerful. Hear what he's saying. When he comes, talking about Jesus, he will open the eyes of the blind. He will unplug the ears of the deaf. You see, the deaf people, their ears are blocked, stopped up. They can't hear. But Jesus has the power and authority to unplug their ears. He will open the eyes of the blind. People are looking. Some people got eyes and can't see. But when he comes, he's gonna fix that. Go to Isaiah 61. When he comes, he's going to fix that. Understand? This is why we got to live, and we got to keep praying for people. We're praying for people's eyes to open, their ears to be unplugged, so they can hear the word of God, so they can see the prophet of God, and so they can see that there is a God that lives in heaven, lives in our heart. He not only in heaven, he's on our heart. Listen to this, Isaiah 61. The good news for the oppressed. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim the captives, and to proclaim the captives with the release to be, will be released, excuse me, and prisoners will be freed. This is the word of God. When you begin to teach and preach this thing with authority, people become free. Become free. I'm glad you asked that question. In their minds, those that have a spiritual ear to hear, that have spiritual eyes to see, they will be free. I remember when I first heard the word that Jesus died for my sins, and when I heard that he threw my sin in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west, and that he don't remember anymore. I said, wow, I can't believe that he loved me that much, that God loved me that much, that he would send his son all the way from the throne in glory into time just to set me free. Then I started weeping. Listen to this. You all heard this verse last week. But as I was paralleling these scriptures, this one came up to me to match with Luke chapter 1 to 22, when Jesus stopped the funeral and put his hand on the coffin and raised the dead boy inside the coffin, came alive, the boy that was the son to the widow. Jesus had compassion on her because Jesus knew that she was a widow. Nobody had to tell him. He knew that she only had one son. And here in this book here, Elijah, chapter 17, verse 17 to 24. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, "Oh, man of God, what have I done? What have you done to me? Excuse me. Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" She believed that Elijah's response. But Elijah replied, "Give me your son." And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" Elijah now asking God, "Why, God, why you do this thing? Why did you do this thing?" Everybody shifting the blame. I don't know, you remember in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and the devil, the serpent, everybody shifted the blame. And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. "Look," he said, "your son is alive." Then the woman told Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you." Now, if you had to lay on somebody that was dead, they would charge you because they would say you're trying to molest the person, abuse the person, even though they're dead. But this woman saw different because now the child is not laying there dead. But when you go to, if you go to a home that hopefully the person just died or so, but most of the times if they went to the mortician, they don't have no lungs, they don't have no kidneys, they don't have no heart, they don't have no blood in them. We know that the life is in the blood. They drain the body of the blood. So once you drain the blood, the spirit goes. The spirit goes. But he gave that child back, go to 2 Kings, back to his mother. And the mother now begin to glorify God because she see what God can do through his servant when the servant is open to God. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 to 37. Elisha, this is the protege, Elisha. Some people call him Elisha. I heard pastor preaching, they call him Elisha. This is the name of one of my daughters, Elijah. Elisha, she has this name, but her name is pronounced Elisha. Here, 2 Kings chapter 4, 32. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth and his eyes on the child's eyes and his hands on the child's hand. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up and walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. Then, this time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elijah summons Gehazi, called the child's mother, he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then she took him in her arms. She took her son and carried him downstairs because God is working through him. Hallelujah. This verse I want to give you, and though this is Good Friday, thank God for you right here, and praise God. Some, a lot of people going, I'm supposed to be in Boston tonight, but let them know. Jeremiah chapter 17, you all know this. We have to stay in agreement with the word of God. A lot of people come against the man of God, the woman of God. And we got to pray for the men and women of God because Satan has infiltrated the church. He didn't just got in the church. He'd been in the church for a long time. But men and women of God have become so blind that they can't see Satan because he's disguised. And the Bible called him, he disguised himself as the angel of light. They can't see him. You know, sometimes he comes in, he's preaching because he seems like he's a preacher. He seems like he is a prophet, rather than a teacher. But he come to destroy the church, which he can't do because Jesus said so. And I believe that the reason Jesus said so because he knew that Satan would try to divide the church. And I'm watching here on YouTube how all of these preachers are going through so much stuff. I mean, well-known preachers are charged, being charged, going to court, have to pay a lot of money, got to spend their money to get expensive lawyers because their sin is being exposed. Today I said, this shall not be our portion. This shall not be our portion. Jeremiah says, we all know that the heart is desperately wicked. This is what Jeremiah says. And we know this because out of the heart flows the issue of life. Either it's going to be good or it's going to be bad, but it comes from the heart. And he says here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, he says, The human heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Who really knows? You see, people can say they're in love and this and that and they get married. And then they kill each other. Kill the children, all this kind of stuff. Because the heart is desperately wicked. And God told us this in the Word. He says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. God, search all hearts. And he gives to everyone what their actions deserve. Something to think about. We are going to stop there today. Tomorrow afternoon we'll go somewhere else. I'm praying about this service tonight. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for those that came on today. We ask that you bless them. Bless them to continue to hear and to see. We ask, O God, that you motivate them to walk according to your word, to walk in the light and not to drift back into the darkness. We ask, Father God, that you be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Father, we receive healing from on high. Thank you for the oil of the throne room that heals our mind, our body, and our soul. We ask, Father God, that you continue to order our steps, Lord God. Continue to order our steps, even when our steps, our feet want to go in another direction, Lord, that you lead us on the right path, oh God. God, connect us with the right people, people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, not the ones that are easily distracted, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to connect us, Lord. Bring those people that are being sold out to the kingdom, oh God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, praise. Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch today. Touch us in a miraculous way. And those that are out there that got to go places tonight and preach, Lord, we ask you to give them traveling mercy. Give us traveling mercy, oh God, to reach our destination and have the church to glorify you, Lord. Father, there's one today that don't know you. We want to give them the opportunity to know you as Lord and Savior. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, take this opportunity, take this time to repent and invite him in your heart. Peter says in Acts 2:30 that let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter also said in Acts 4:12, he lets you know that there's only one way. Acts 4:12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He lets you know this very plain. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible said that. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, they realized that Peter and John was ignorant men, but the way that they were speaking, the way that they were releasing the word out of their bellies, these people said, they had to be with Jesus. See, when you've been with Jesus, when you have an encounter with Jesus, your speech is going to be different. The way you talk, the way you live, is going to be different. Because Jesus imparts new wisdom, new revelation. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17, John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. Romans 5:5-8 said that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All A-double-S, you and I, we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us were perfect, but he came and took us out of the mighty clear and set us feet on that rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says that if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. So what is simple? All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus. That's all you need to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Trust the Lord Jesus for your healing. Trust the Lord Jesus for your supply, for your needs. Trust him. Hallelujah. When the centurion said to Jesus, you don't have to come under my roof. Come to my home. He says, I'm not worthy that you should come to me. Neither am I worthy to come to you. And he began to explain to Jesus his authority that he had and that the authority that he was under. Oh, my God, Jesus, I have not seen such a great faith in all of Jerusalem. The man told his people that talked to Jesus, said, to tell Jesus, just send the word. The man knew that if Jesus was so awesome, that if he sent the word, that his slave would be made whole. In that very hour, Jesus didn't even send the word. All he said, I have not seen such a great faith in all of Jerusalem or all of Israel. In that very moment, the centurion slave was healed. See, when the servants got back to the house, that hour, the boy was healed. Glory to God. This is the Jesus that we serve. I sent out a prayer this morning for a little baby who the baby's heart is out of rhythm, is beating fast. And the doctor was working on her, trying to get the baby's heart down. And last year, this baby born with a collapsed lungs that had to fight to get the twin, get this child back to get the lungs up and get her working. Now, today she is rushed to the hospital, or yesterday. But we believe in that God is healing her. Because we send the word. We didn't just pray because we could pray. We pray because we know that our God answers prayer. He answers prayer. We talked about today. Talk about Jesus healing and raising the dead. Our topic today was he heals. He heals the sick and he raised the dead. And sometimes it's not just physical death. It's spiritual death. A lot of people walking around and they're spiritually dead. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we give you a lot of scriptures. And I have all those scriptures hidden in my heart, so I just call them up as I go. But this one I got to put inside. I got to lock this one in too. I pretty much got it, but I got to lock it in. And this is Mark chapter 16. I got to lock this in. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, 18. Been working on it, though. You know, and this is how you get it in. You know, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is what happened when you receive Jesus as Lord and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And one thing I saw on the YouTube, and it was in the Caribbean, and you know, a lot of people in the Caribbean have sheep and goat, and they have pigs, and on there, so they make their money. You know, they take the pig to the butcher shop, sell the pig. They get some of the pork, paid for the pig. And also, some people got a lot of luck. Next door to my sister, the guy have a lot of pigs, a lot of sheep, a lot of goat, cows, everything. I can barbear. Well, this man wanted his sheep come up on a snake, and the snake strike the sheep in his face. But the sheep just stay there. And so much venom come out of this snake. And I think it was a rattlesnake. And the man saw it, but he don't go right to the snake. So he said, the sheep still standing up. But they discovered that the blood of a sheep, you know, is the venom. It's the venom, that's what they use. He said, it takes some, draw something out the blood of a sheep, and it destroyed the venom of snakes. I didn't know that. The man said that the sheep face swelled up so big, but the sheep still walking around. The sheep never died. I think they killed the snake. Fancy they killed the snake. But the sheep stood up with a big old face, that, you know, and minutes the face of the sheep started swelling up, but the sheep never fall down. And the man says, little did they know that the sheep, the snake didn't know that you can't kill a sheep, because the sheep venom is stronger. The sheep antidote is stronger than the venom of the snake. I said, wow, didn't know that. But I thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation. Let me say this for you. Let's say this prayer. And I want you to repent. The Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, which are many. But today I'm denouncing Satan, because I heard the word and I believe what the word of God says, because there's power in the word of God. I denounce Satan and his agents and the world system. I come to you, Jesus, yes, as I am, believing that today, as I open my heart to you, Jesus, and invite you in my heart, I receive the gift of salvation. I receive joy, I receive peace, I receive everything that you are, unspeakable joy and full of glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you died there, you were buried, and that you rose again the third day, even as we celebrate Good Friday. Lord, I pray that as you enter in my heart, that my life will never be the same. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. We recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. But you can start any way that the Holy Spirit leads you. This is just what he told me back in 2010. Because why do you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts? Because you want to get a good understanding of this the Savior, the Jesus, the Sovereign Lord that we teach and preach about, that real preachers preach about Jesus. Big preachers talk about prosperity. They want you to get rich and die. But when you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are already rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you put anything before him. Give your life completely to him and begin to live. call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you received a gift of salvation, because that's what it is a gift, and that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and but you want to be baptized because according to Luke 2 and 38, you need to be baptized, and according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, that you need to be baptized. Some people say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He never got baptized, but he ended up with Jesus in the Garden of Paradise. Well, let me tell you, there was a different dispensation. And we are living in a different dispensation. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then when you get baptized, before you get baptized, you want to call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and all those, even your enemies. Let them see and know that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. That it's not a fragment of your imagination. This is going to be your new birthday. Maybe some of the people that come to the baptism might hear the baptismal service, the sermon that the pastor preached that day, and decide that they want to get baptized. They want to give their life to Christ. You know, they're getting baptized that day if you don't know Christ. Because you got to first know him as Lord and Savior before you get baptized. And when you get baptized, you're going down what we call the liquid water, liquid grave. And Jesus is with you. How do we know that? Because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's with you even going down in that grave. And when you go down that grave, you're going down there knowing that you have given your life to him. And you come back out of that grave with so much joy. Oh, my Lord, I can remember the day that I went down the water. When I came back up, I was running, shouting, crying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, everything in the same time. Speaking in tongues, they said, leave him alone. The lady that baptized me, she wrote several books. Elder Izzy, she said, leave him alone. That's the Holy Ghost dealing with him. Leave him alone. And I was running here, running there. I tell you, I've never experienced anything like that since then. You know, because that's a time of refreshing, renewal. And you find your church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. I'm telling you, I beg you, get yourself involved because we're so near. We're so near to the return of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't given your life to him, I beg you, I plead with you to give your life to him. You don't have to go to a church building, right in your house, sitting in your car. In the grocery store, wherever you are, in the mall, you can, in the doctor's office, you can just go into the bathroom and just invite him in your life. Tell him that you repent. Now, all of us have sinned, but you repent and invite Jesus. He'll come right on in. And when he comes in, he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what he does. That's what my Savior does. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. But you got to go to him, and you got to plead your case to him. Tell him that you're in need of him. He's not going to go where he's not needed. Hallelujah. So we thank God for all those who receive the gift of salvation, and we pray that you continue to walk in the way of righteousness. We pray this. We pray this from here on. Get yourself connected into a church. And follow the word. Study the word. But the word needs to be studied. You know? You got to study the word every day. You got to get there. Set a time. Set a time where you're going to be with the Lord. And guess what? You can't beat him. He's going to get to that place. If you tell him that you're going to meet him at 11:30, he's going to be there at 11:30. If you tell him you're going to beat him at 12, he's going to be there. Because he's an on-time guard. He don't play. And your soul is nothing to play with. People are dying like flies everywhere. Every time I turn on the computer, every time I go on the news, they're telling me that these people die. People shooting the police and police shooting people. You know. And people shooting each other. Because that's what the enemy does. The enemy pays us to kill each other. It's happening. No. You have to pray. You have to invite God to be part of your life. Invite him to be part of your life. Tell him you want him to be the center. The center of your life. When you do that, he shows up in the center of your life. Then you gotta make a commitment. You know, just like when you were dating your wife, your husband. You said, baby, you're my number one. You're everything that I was hoping for and more. But now you gotta commit to her. You gotta commit to him. And that's where we find that today a lot of people not committing to the world system. Doing what the devil said to. We commit easy. We don't commit to our marriage. We don't commit to a church, to the Lord. I gotta wash my hands here. Excuse me for a second. It's just anointing my knees. It's just anointing more my knees. I got this stuff on my hand. But we got to commit. And we got to give God all. I had to take care of stuff yesterday. You know, because my heart stops. You know, when you stop breathing, I stop breathing when I'm sleeping for a few seconds, 10 seconds or something like that. So I had to do a sleep test. And yesterday I had to drive away out to return the equipment. So now I got to wait and see what my doctor says. And if everything is all right with him, he will get me a machine. I know the machine costs about $400, three something, close to $400. Well, I just wait to get the free one, but if I don't get it, I'm going to buy one from Amazon because I need it. What that machine does is that when my heart stops, when the stop breathing for 10 minutes, 10 seconds or something, it kicks in so that my heart gets oxygen and my brain gets oxygen. See, when you lose oxygen for 10 or 12 seconds, you can go blind, you can go deaf, you can get a stroke, all that stuff. I didn't know that stuff, and I've been like this for years. Well, you know, that's why I thank God and praise God, because I was like this for years and never had a stroke or anything like that. I said, well, you don't know, man. This your wife, you snore, you ought to go to your doctor and tell him that you want to have a sleep test, because if you snore, most likely you stop breathing. At some point in time when you're asleep, you stop breathing for a couple of seconds, 10 seconds or so. And I didn't know that. But they tell me that knowledge is power. You know, when you get knowledge, a lot of our people die because they don't go get no checkups. You know, they say, well, this thing going on, they don't go get no checkup. They don't go have no colonoscopy. They don't have the prostate check, none of that stuff. They don't have their heart check, their lungs check, nothing like that. By the time they find out that their lungs is messing up, they got a lump or got a spot on their lung, it's too late. And it's easy. All this stuff happens. All it takes is to go. If you don't have a doctor, you get a doctor. Get a doctor. You know, I got a heart doctor. I got a family doctor. You know, I go to. And I don't see him for 3 months now. Got a heart doctor. I see him next week. I go see him next week. And then he'll tell me everything that's going on. He said to me, he says, you know, one thing. He said, one thing. Mr. Callender, because he said, I can listen to you because you know your body. He said, when you tell me something going on with your body, he said, I got to listen. But when I told him about the pain I was getting in my neck, he downplayed it for seeing that I had an indigestion, I told him, well, you don't get the indigestion in the side of your neck, you get indigestion in your chest, you know. And it'd be the GERD come up, you know, the grease and stuff. I said, no, that indigestion. And good thing that we run down to the hospital, to the emergency room, because I could have had a stroke, could have been blind. But we thank God. God is keeping us. He's constantly keeping us and watching over us. We thank God for everyone that received the gift of salvation. And we pray for the ones that will receive the gift of salvation later. You know, because we are close. You know, you hear a lot of preachers saying we are close, but they don't know how close we are. We are very close. You see how evil is showing up his ugly head. That's because we are close. We are very close. And Satan knows that. That's why he is coming into the church. And you have big bishops, big apostles, bigger evangelists, big prophets and prophetess, people that know the word of God. And guess what they're doing? They know the word of God, but they're compromising the word of God for what they want out the world. They want millions. And Jesus tells us plainly, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, I'm on this thing with this. I got vouchers here for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars from the global financial reset. But it's not my main objective. If they reset that, I will have more money than I can spend in a lifetime. I can have more people in this lifetime. You understand? I could help. But that's not my main objective right now. That's not my main focus. My main focus is to win souls. That's my main soul. Main focus. You put your mind on money, you'll miss what God wants to do with you. If you put your mind on money, just money. Finances, everybody want to pay, you want to pay your bills, you want to meet your financial needs. But don't put your mind on it. Put your mind on Christ. And remind Christ that he said, God said, I will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said that. He said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to, you know, the power that resides in you, the power that liveth in you. Hallelujah. So if the power is living in you, God can do what needs to be done for you. You got to know that. And you'll know if the power is living inside of you, because it tells by the way you live, the way you carry yourself, the way you treat people. The power will tell that. But if you don't treat people right, that means the power not in there. Power not in there. You know, you got people go to church. You got husband and wives go to church and they fight like cats and dogs. You know, cussing each other out and all that kind of stuff. But they say they're God's servant. You're not God's servant. You're a puppet to the devil. Puppet to the devil. You can't serve the light and darkness at the same time. The Bible says it this way. You can't serve God and mama. Nope. All of my needs are being met. All. A-double-L. God is meeting them. So there's some things that I want, I ain't got yet. But I'm not focused on them, because he's meeting my needs. And if he's meeting my needs, why I got to worry? I spend all day worrying about what I want, what I don't have. I praise him for what I have already. My son was on the verge of, could have been killed. He's running the street with guns and all that kind of stuff. Selling marijuana, all that kind of stuff, you know, peddling to make ends meet, to take care of his family. And I pray for him, God deliver him. You know, got rid of guns and all that kind of stuff. And now my son have a full-time job making big money. You know, God is a good God. You know, God is a good God. And I can't stop praising him. I can't stop glorifying him, because what he's doing in my body, what he's doing in my mind, what he's doing in my spirit, in my soul, I can't stop praising him. I don't have any money in my wallet, but I have more than enough inside of me. More than enough. I'm not lacking anything. I got God. I got more than enough. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I thank God for you coming on today. Minister Jones, Elder got on a little late. Thank God for Mark, Brother Mark. I pray God continue to strengthen you all and that he continue to encourage you all with his spirit. You know, listen to him. Spend time listening to God. Don't just tell God everything because he knows everything. Remember we talked about the Pharisees, you know, when the woman came in, the prostitute came into the house where Jesus was, at Simon's house. Remember we talked about that? And Simon was talking to himself about Jesus. When the woman began to cry on Jesus, she's a prostitute, she's a sinner, and she's crying on his feet, taking her hair and drying his feet with her hair. Then she opened the alabaster box and took out this real expensive oil and began to anoint his feet. She was preparing him for burial. But Jesus knew. The rest of the people didn't know. And they began to talk to themselves, inside themselves, in their hearts. And Jesus heard everything they were speaking. And then he responded to Simon and told Simon about his sin, about the woman's sin. You know. Because Jesus knows everything. We don't have to tell him everything. What we need to do is praise him. Give him glory. Give him honor for what he's done this far. And he's done more than we is worthy of. More than we desire. I mean, you want everything, but he is giving you more than you desire. Deserve, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Holy Ghost. More than we deserve, he give us. And that's why I praise him. The line is open. Anybody want to say a word or two, you can. The line is open. Okay, let's close up. Oh, Father, you are so merciful. You are so loving and you are so kind. Father, no one in this earth or in heaven above or under the earth compares to you. We thank you, O God, for your omnipotent presence, your omnipresent, your omniscient presence, O God. We thank you for all knowing, all seeing, and all powerful, O God. We thank you, O God. Thank you for giving us this word today, Lord God. And we pray for the words that will be preached tonight, the seven words all over the world, all over the United States. We pray that you use the pastors, the leaders, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Use them all to glorify your name, Lord, so somebody might get saved. Somebody might be touched, O God, from all that you have been through on the cross at Calvary when they hear the message and give their lives, O God. We pray today in the precious name of Jesus that you continue to heal and deliver and restore. Draw to you, for your word declare that no one can come except you draw them. Father, now as we leave this line, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We ask, O God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you will set us above and not beneath. Lord, as you continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers. We pray, O God, right now. O God, we pray right now that the grace of our Lord and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them. And Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today that would make a difference in somebody's life who hear you. Hallelujah. So we pray that someone will not kidnap a child, rape a child, sodomize a child, or even break into someone's home and commit some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Yes, that they must be seen, Jesus must be seen in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We will be on tomorrow at 12, because the Lord says the same. We will be here and believing that the Lord will give us a word tonight for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You know I love you, but God loves you all. Bye-bye.